Welcome to the Sportscast, October 26, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on YouTube, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review. The Houston Texans are back in their groove again. Last night, by beating the Miami Dolphins 42-23, winning five in a row after starting 0-3. And to join us to talk about where are the Texans are at is Jeff Farr. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thanks. Happy to be here as usual. And on defense, I think the Texans, I don't know, man, their defense is, when I've watched it, it's been a little bit up and down. But the thing is, they have major, major talent where it matters. They have a great pass rush. Clowney and Watt and even Merciless is a really nice player. But, man, who would have thought J.J. Watt would look the way he does after multiple season-ending injuries? Like, he's really bounced back.
Yeah. He's definitely – he had an ACL injury last year. And obviously, you know, when players come back after a – ACL injury like that, it's usually pretty rough, but it feels like his old self is back, you think?
Significant back injury at that. And when you look at what he's doing, I mean, you would never know that he had missed any time. He looks phenomenal. And, you know, Clowney, you know, for a long time, it seemed like Clowney was always going to be a, you know, looks like Tarzan, plays like Jane type player, but he's not anymore. I mean, he's playing well. Getting the Honey Badger was a big move for them. You know, he's a playmaker. So, yeah, I think the defense as a whole has some pieces. You know, their back end overall is still a little bit rough. Happens, you can hide your secondary, at least to some extent.
Yeah. With last night, the Dolphins are going through a little bit of a rough patch, you know, losing two in a row and then having Brock Osweiler start for those two games and looking at Ryan Tannehill, when he comes back, he has to produce. I think a lot of people were saying, well, he has huge potential. But do you think Tannehill coming back, you think that might be good for the Dolphins?
Well, I think it'll definitely be good for them. I mean, but Albert Wilson was playing out of his mind, you know, and I'm familiar with Albert Wilson because, you know, he started his career in Kansas City, was an undrafted guy, and was a big play guy. And, you know, I'm happy to see him doing well. It was just a numbers game where it wasn't worth paying him big money to stay in Kansas City because he wasn't going to get the ball a whole lot. But for him to be able to go to Miami and be the guy, or at least one of the top guys, you know, it's going to be tough to replace him. I mean, unfortunately, I think that's a little bit undersold. But when Tannehill comes back, that's going to stabilize things a bit, because not that Tannehill's incapable of a bad play, but the thing that drives you nuts about Osweiler is it just seems as though he just has a flair for the dramatic in the wrong way. You know, he's always involved in a really bad turnover at a really bad time, and those are the things that crush you, because when you're beat up, you're going to be playing in these close games, and you can't have those big turnovers because those lose you games.
Last night, also for the Texans, they lost their wide receiver Will Fuller for the season after he tore the ACL in his right knee. How much of a loss is that for like the Texans?
I mean, that's gigantic. You know, he was their deep threat. You know, he's the guy that spreads the field, allows them to spread the field. You know, he takes the top off of defense. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, he's unbelievable. You know, you could make an argument. I don't know that he's necessarily the best receiver in the NFL, but you could at least make an argument for it. Right. You know, he's in the conversation. It's going to, what happens when you lose the speed on the outside, you know, Hopkins isn't a burner, Right. I mean, I'm not saying he can't beat you deep, but that's not his game. He's running away from people isn't his game, is what I should say. And when you have Fuller on the other side that stretches the field, it creates space for everybody else. So the challenge for the Texans is going to be without that, they can just blow past people. How are you going to create space in your offense? You know, what are you going to do to make sure that you still get some favorable matchups for Hopkins? And that you can run the ball with Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller looks pretty good too, so they're going to miss him, and it's going to take some time here. I think I know they play Denver next, which you know Denver hasn't necessarily been good this year, but playing at Denver isn't an easy task, and the defense plays well at home, so that's not necessarily a great first game to try to get it together with.
Would you agree that the Texans' O line is not the best?
Oh, I think that's their biggest weakness. You know, their offensive line's a problem. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Their offensive line is, I worry. So Watson, I mean, Watson's great at extending the play, and you don't want to take that away from him. You know, it's the same with guys like Mahomes and Rodgers and, you know, even Brady. He'll slide around in the pocket to keep the play alive. Quarterbacks that are great playmakers are going to do that. But playing behind that line and having that mentality of trying to make every play, they've got to find a balance there so they don't get Watson, you know, destroyed before they make it to the midway point here.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting. We'll see how the Texans go. How would you rate them? Do you think they're in like the top three, top five, or where do you put them at in the AFC?
I think if you look at the AFC as a whole, I mean, I think the Chiefs and Patriots are the class of the AFC. You know, they're both, you know, the Chiefs defense is starting to play a little bit better. The Patriots on defense, they haven't been good for a couple years, but they'll make enough timely plays to win a lot of games. So, and both teams can score a bunch. So I think they're the two top teams in the AFC. And then when you look at that next bunch, you know, you have the Jags who, they don't look good right now. I think if their offense gets a little healthier, they might be able to get back on track because the defense is still just loaded with talent. The Steelers are a team that I think got written off too soon. Now, the Steelers' defense, I think, their secondary is a mess, and I don't think their pass rush is very good except, you know, T.J. Watt once every 4 weeks has a three-sack game, you know, against John Jones off the street or whatever, but the Steelers are going to be there because their offense is so dynamic. The Bengals, you know, I don't know if we should write them off yet. They might be in that next group. And the Ravens, you know, the Ravens defensively, especially with the recent Jaguars struggles, you might be able to make an argument that the Ravens have the best defense. And then after that, you know, I see the Chargers. I mean, I'm overlooking the Chargers. So the Chargers are 5-2, and their only two losses are to the Rams and Chiefs.
Wow!
So they're going to be there, you know. So I don't think the Texans are better than those teams. Now you can make an argument that they did beat the Jaguars, and so obviously they deserve credit for that. But when I look at the long term and how is the season going to unfold, and I could be proven completely, completely wrong. But I just keep looking at the Jaguars roster, and I don't think they can continue to be as bad as they are right now. I mean, I think they went into that game against the Chiefs, and they thought they were just going to out-physical them and beat them by double digits. And when the Chiefs hit them back and end up blowing them out, I think there's a lot of guys on that team with big egos, and they're not used to that happening to them. And I think they just flat out didn't show up against Dallas the next week. And so they've had a rough stretch, but I don't think they're going to stay down for the whole year. I think they'll bounce back at some point.
How would you, you're right about like the Chargers. I think, you know, they're definitely a team that you got to watch out for. And, but definitely the top two is the Patriots and the Chiefs, which you mentioned the Bengals this past weekend. Chiefs defeated the Bengals 45-10. How'd you see that game? Was that now proven that the Bengals are not as good as they thought people were thinking?
That's hard because you don't want to make too big of a deal about one game. I don't think we should write the Bengals off yet. I say this every week, but there are teams in the NFL that you just look at their roster and say, man, they have a lot of talent. I really believe on both offense and defense, the Bengals are very, very talented. Now, I guess the thing that I look at, and Andy Dalton against really good competition just hasn't had a lot of production when they play quality opponents. And the other thing that hurts them, I don't care if they play the Steelers in Cincinnati, if they play them in Pittsburgh, or if they play them on Jupiter, the Steelers just beat the Bengals. It's just, I don't know what it is right now. And that's not to discredit the Steelers, but you see that sometimes in sports where it almost becomes a mental block. So I still think the Bengals are going to fight for a wild card spot. I think the division's going to come down to the Ravens and Steelers, but the Bengals they'll be there for a wild card spot. And I think, you know, that wild card spot is going to be, you know, the Chargers are going to be competing for that spot. The Bengals will be competing for that spot. So, and depending on what happens with the Texans and Jaguars in their division, one of those two teams will be competing for that spot. So there's going to be, you know, and I get there's two wild cards, but I guess I'm just assuming whoever doesn't win between the Steelers and Ravens is going to get the other one.
The Bengals' next three games are the Buccaneers, Saints, and then the Ravens. How do you see those three next games for them?
So we talked about how much the Steelers own the Bengals, but at the same time, the Bengals have really done well against the Ravens. So I look at that and I say they'll beat the Bucs. I mean, I shouldn't assume, but I have a hard time. You know, I have a hard time thinking they won't beat the Bucs. And then the Saints are really good right now. But I will say this: the Saints are going to be coming off a big game at Minnesota. And depending on how that game goes, they could have a little bit of a letdown for that Bengals game. So, you know, maybe the Bengals are catching them at a good time. But I believe it's in New Orleans, correct?
Correct, yes.
I mean, I will say, you know, going to New Orleans is not – I mean, that is rough. And then, you know, so if they can find a way to win two out of three of those games, they're, you know, right back in it. You know, they're right back into a good spot. And even if they only beat the Bucs and then lose to the Ravens and Saints, you know, it's still not, you know, because they got off to such a good start, they'll still be okay. But yeah, they do have to be careful not to let the ship sink here in these next 3 weeks.
And for the Chiefs, their next three games are the Broncos. Then they go to the Browns and they receive the Cardinals. It's quite easy, do you think?
Well, so here's the first thing. A division game is never easy. You know, and I know the Broncos are a mess. I mean, and even after thumping the Cardinals, the Broncos are still a mess. I mean, that game, I think the Cardinals just they were brutal. I mean, they were that's the worst performance by any team in the NFL we've seen this year. Now, with that said, anytime you have a division game, regardless of where it's played, you know, you can never say it's easy. And I know that the Chiefs are a 9 or 10 point favorite, depending on where you look. It's a gigantic line. They're playing in Kansas City. But with that said, I wouldn't jump to that conclusion. The game at the Browns, you know, again, the Browns defense is really good, but I think Andy Reid will be up to the task, and you know the Chiefs will find a way to win that one. And the Cardinals game in Kansas City, now, you know, I hate to say this, but those are kind of the games that worry me a little bit, because I keep watching, you know, obviously I watch the Chiefs every week, and I keep waiting for them to have a little bit of a letdown. You know, you keep waiting for them to just have that game that they don't come out sharp and they just look sloppy, and it really hasn't happened yet, you know. So could that happen at Cleveland, or could it maybe happen in that Cardinal game? You never know. So you just hope that they don't drop one of those games. But in theory, if they show up and they play and they don't have a letdown these next 3 weeks, yeah, I mean, there's no reason that they shouldn't win all three of those games.
What about Blake Bortles for Jacksonville? He was benched this past weekend. Do you think that was was that something that what do you think about that whole situation with him in Jacksonville?
Well, the book on Bortles is pretty simple. when their offensive line was completely healthy and they could lean on Fournette and they could run the ball and then play action, Bortles could do enough to get by. And he could even have some games where he looked like a quality quarterback as long as the offense stayed balanced. But the Jags are in a position where they're not healthy up front. They don't have Fournette controlling the game. And you're asking Bortles to do too much. And he's never going to be that guy. I mean, that's just the reality. Sometimes we just refuse to call a spade a spade. If you ask Bortles to go out and try to win the game or be the guy during the game, you're in a lot of trouble. I mean, that's just, he's going to turn the ball over. He's going to complete a low percentage. That's just who he is. So I think the biggest failure in the entire situation, I really believe the Jags bought in too much to Bortles having a decent year last year, and they gave him that extension. And I'm not sure how you can give him that guarantee, I guess. You know, I don't think he's played well enough to warrant that. And when you look around the league, you look at, you know, Teddy Bridgewater was available for trade. Would have he been an upgrade? Now, it's hard to say if he would or wouldn't for sure. We don't know. You know, the Saints went out and got Bridgewater. You look at, you know, I don't think Case Keenum is very good, but I think he would have been a little bit better than Bortles if they wanted to make that move. So I think the biggest failure was actually in the offseason when they recommitted to Bortles. The other guy, you know, and I don't know if the Chiefs would have made this trade, but if you put Alex Smith in Jacksonville, you know, if they would have been aggressive to trade for him instead of letting them go to the Redskins, you know, Alex Smith could have at least done enough to keep you in games.
Yeah. There are definitely a few options out there that could have been done on Jacksonville's end. But I believe that the coach for Jacksonville has given confidence to Bortles that he will be, you know, starting this weekend. So he just had a little bit of a wake-up call. So we'll see if that things turns around in Jacksonville. Hopefully Fournette will come back. In trade news, the biggest trade so far is Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. What can you tell me your thoughts about that?
The Cowboys needed something. You know, their receiving core was barren for the most part. And they needed someone that could at least give them the potential to have a number one guy. But with that said, I was pretty stunned that they gave up a first-round pick. You know, Amari Cooper coming out, I thought was going to be a stud. And then he gained some weight, and it's muscle. Don't get me wrong, it's muscle. But when you look at him, when you just look at Amari Cooper from a distance, it almost looks as though he put on model muscle. You know, it looks good. You know, he was in the weight room, but it almost looks as though it slowed him down. I don't know if the statistics back this up, so I don't want to be too brazen with this. But just the games that I've watched, it seems as though he just has more drops since he put on weight. So I don't know if one thing has to do with the other, but, you know, I think it's the Cowboys and you believe you can win right now. I get it because they needed somebody, but boy, if you're the Raiders, I mean, you know that you're tearing it down and you get a first round pick for him. You have to be ecstatic with that.
Speaking about the Raiders, you think Gruden is cleaning house and he wants to bring in his own players and start from scratch?
I think it all comes down to one thing, And, you know, in the NFL, you either have a quarterback or you don't. And, I mean, that's it. Like, you, if you don't have a quarterback, you know, maybe once every 10 years the defensive team wins it just carrying an average quarterback. But for the most part, you better have a guy that can get it done. And I think all of this, just comes down to Gruden looking at the team and saying Derek Carr isn't the guy.
Wow.
I think that is, I think that's the beginning of it. I think that's the end of it. Derek Carr is not the guy, and Gruden doesn't want to keep having 6-10 to 10-6 seasons over and over and over again. Because as much as they were criticized for trading Khalil Mack, and I understand it because Mack is a great, great player, but let's say you keep Khalil Mack and you keep Derek Carr and you keep Amari Cooper. Well, where does that get you? You're going to win between 6-10 games on a yearly basis, but you're never going to be a true contender. And, you know, they have all this money tied up in Carr already. And the defense is how, I mean, it's been a long time since the Raiders have had real talent on defense other than Mack, obviously. And I think Gruden looked at it and said, well, for the next 5 years, we can either be poor to average to maybe once in a while having a good year, or we can tear it down and try to be great. Now, do I think Gruden's track record for finding players in the draft is very good? Heck no. I mean, Tony Dungy built the Bucs. Gruden came in and won a Super Bowl with Dungy's roster and then gradually destroyed the roster. So I don't have confidence that he'll pick good players to rebuild the roster, but I do think that there's a method to what he's doing. I don't think it's just willy-nilly, no plan, trading players just for the sake of trading players.
You think he's made up his mind on Carr?
Absolutely. 100. I think he'd trade Carr tomorrow if he had the right offer. I mean, I just, you know, I think he's completely, and I think that's why, I think that's part of the reason that Carr is struggling even more. I don't think Carr's a real good quarterback. I think he's a pretty average quarterback. But I think he's playing worse than what he is because of that. You know, when you go to work with a guy every day, like if you have a boss, right, and you know that boss doesn't being there, or you know that your boss isn't satisfied with your performance, and you go and work with that guy day in and day out, morning, evening, and night, you feel it. You know it. Like, you can't avoid it. And Gruden isn't exactly a guy that beats around the bush. He says what he's thinking. So I can't imagine what it's like walking into that locker room every day. It's got to feel like you're walking into fog.
I agree. It's definitely, you know, especially when there's like a new coach or new boss, you know, you don't know if he wants to keep you, but this is quite interesting with Gruden. He's cleaning house, leaving Mac. That's definitely a big red flag, and we'll see what happens. You know, I think we'll see if he gets a quarterback from the draft next year and start from scratch and build from there. One more thing I want to talk about is the Lions. You think the Lions are kind of getting back into the groove as well?
I was surprised. They were one of those teams that I kind of thought they were going to be awful, and they're really not. They're better than I anticipated. And the truth is, when we talked in the very first week about how we saw things playing out, I thought the Bears were going to be the better team. And I think maybe the Bears aren't as good as what I expected. And I'll tell you what, you know, to get Snacks Harrison for a fifth-round pick, I'll tell you what, man, I don't know how there's a single team in the entire NFL that would not have been ecstatic to trade a fifth-round pick for Snacks Harrison. And I understand that it's a passing league now, but when you have a guy like Snacks, you can, I mean, if you play a 3-4, he's just going to take up two blockers pretty much every single play for the rest of his life or for the rest of his playing career. And that helps your run defense tremendously. So I know the Giants are another team that's going to burn it to the ground, but I was just surprised that a fifth-round pick landed a player of that quality.
We'll see what happens with the Lions, with the new coach, and we'll see if they can make a challenger run. Maybe not go to the playoffs, but definitely make a good good first year for the new coach. Ready for some predictions?
Absolutely.
Philadelphia at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I just took all this time saying that I think the Jags are going to turn it around, but I think the Eagles win. I just, you know, I don't like the combination of the Jaguars' beat-up offensive line against Eagles' front and then trusting Bortles to make good decisions because he's going to be under pressure. So do you trust that Bortles is going to make good decisions under pressure? I don't. I think Wentz will make just enough plays, and I think the Eagles will win a close game.
Which we're seeing Wentz come back into his old self now.
Yeah, I think Wentz has been fine. I mean, the quarterback always takes criticism when you're not winning. I think Wentz has been good. You know, I think that, so the Eagles have been beat up on offense, and their running game, you know, missing a Jai is tough. But maybe Wentz tries to make a few plays that aren't there. But again, you can't neuter your quarterback, right? If your quarterback last year, before he got hurt, he was probably the MVP of the league. So you have to let him play his game. Sometimes he's going to turn the ball over because of it. But I think Wentz is, you know, he's going to. He's fine. He's one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yeah. He's definitely going to be going down in the history books. The Baltimore Ravens at the Carolina Panthers.
Man, that's a fun one. I think that's going to be more of a defensive game. Because the one thing I'll say for the Ravens, whether they win or lose, and they did lose a just horrific fashion last week, you know, Justin Tucker missing the first extra point of his career that would have tied the game to go to overtime. That's brutal. But aside from that, the thing the Ravens do really well is they force teams to play their game. Every single Ravens game is this ugly defensive, you know, slugfest. And the Panthers are pretty good up front. But I'll tell you, I think the Panthers will end up winning the game. You know, I think it'll be one of those 24-21 Panthers win by a field goal. And just because, I mean, I think Flacco's played better this year than last year. That might be a no-duh statement, but I just think Cam will make one more play than Flacco makes, and I think that'll be the difference.
Interesting. Next, Broncos at the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I got to pick the Chiefs to win. I mean, I'm hesitant as to whether or not they'll cover the spread, and I always get nervous, you know. Earlier this year, the Minnesota Vikings were a 14.5-point favorite against the Bills at home, and they lost the game. It's not that they didn't cover, they lost. Now, I don't think the Chiefs will lose, but I also think the Broncos will at least give it a good fight. So I think the Chiefs will, maybe it'll be one of those games where the Broncos score late to make the score look a little bit better, but I could see this being a, you know, a seven-point spread or a 10-point spread where the Chiefs will win, but they won't be as comfortable as what you may think.
I like KC no matter what. Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
Man, for Cleveland's sake, it's disappointing for them that they didn't get to play in Pittsburgh early and then play this game at home. Baker will give them a chance, you know, and their defense, you know, I keep saying this, but the Browns' defense is legitimate. It's not a fluke that they keep holding teams in check. I still feel as though the Steelers are a little bit, they're not quite clicking yet, but you have to take the Steelers at home. You know, the Steelers, even though they've lost a couple games in Pittsburgh this year, generally speaking, Pittsburgh is a tough place to go and get a win, and I just think Roethlisberger will just make a play or two more than what Mayfield does, and I think that'll be the difference. But I do think it'll be, you know, a 7-point game. You know, it'll be a one-score game.
You think Bell like, we'll be back this weekend or next weekend?
From what I've gathered, I think he's going to make sure that he comes back after the trade deadline because he doesn't want to get traded. Mm. So my guess is, I believe Tuesday is the trade deadline, so I think he'll come back Wednesday. I think he'll be back Wednesday after the trade deadline is passed.
Yeah. His situation, is it like unusual, or you think what he's doing is just a business move, what he's doing?
Well, I think it's really simple. I think if he hadn't got himself suspended two or three times, that the Steelers would have gave him the money he wanted and they'd be living happily ever after. But instead, the Steelers can't trust him to always be available, so they were hesitant to guarantee a lot of money. And I think that's just the long and the short of it. They gave him a really competitive contract, but they didn't want to guarantee a high percentage. And it's hard to blame him, you know, because what if you give him a lot of money and then next year he gets suspended again? So, I don't think the Steelers have done anything wrong.
No, it's an interesting situation. We'll see if this happens again to another player. So we'll look at it as like the Bell move, whatever. But anyways, Jets at the Bears.
I like the Bears in that one. And, you know, just they're playing at home. If their special teams didn't just kill them last week, they might have beat the Patriots, but their special teams failed them. And not to take anything away from Darnold, but playing Darnold isn't quite as of a daunting task as playing Tom Brady. So I think the Bears will get it done. I think that might be the ugly game of the week, though. I think that's going to be an ugly, you know.
Out of the four rookie quarterbacks, turnovers, which one's doing the best?
Oh, boy. I think you'd have to go with Mayfield has been the best.
Yeah.
You know, the Browns, they need another receiver badly to give him a little bit more of a chance. But I think Mayfield's been the best playmaker. I do like Darnold, though, and I still think long-term, if you're looking at this 5 years from now, I still just get a feel that Darnold might be the best one from the class.
Yeah, I really think he was well-received in New York, and I think they really like him, and they're very patient with him. So it's not like, yeah, he could lose every game this year, but fans will be saying, it's okay, we know you're the future. Green Bay at the Rams.
This is going to be the upset special.
Ooh, really?
I believe the Packers are a big-time underdog. Yeah, I just a feeling, just a gut feeling. That, you know, the Rams really haven't been challenged. You know, they haven't – I'm not saying they haven't played any quality teams, but I don't think they've really been truly challenged defensively. Now, again, the Rams' offense is going to score a gazillion points every week because they have playmakers everywhere. But I think this might be an Aaron Rodgers game where he might have one of his spectacular games just to kind of give us a reminder of, you know, the fact that he's still Aaron Rodgers. You know, he hasn't necessarily done that here in a little while, and he's getting two of his receivers back. I think the timing's right for the Packers to pull the upset.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's see what happens. I'm a little skeptical because I think Rodgers is not, you know, healthy. And they've been struggling in like the wide receiver end, but you never know with Rodgers. He might want this game more than anything. And finally, on Monday Night Football, the Patriots at the Bills.
That's going to be rough. I mean, that's just the Patriots are going to. I mean, I know typically the Bills play well at home and play well versus the Patriots, but I mean the. The Bills' offense is just what do they hang their hat on? I don't even know how you call plays for the Bills' offense. They just have nothing that they do well, you know, and that's trouble because they're going to keep giving the ball back to Brady again and again and again. I don't think that's going to be a close game. I think the Patriots win by double digits.
And one more for the World Series. Game three, the Sox at the Dodgers. The Sox are up 2-0 in the series. Who you got there?
Again, gut feeling, just from what I've seen and hearing the teams talk and where they're at. I think this Red Sox team is just kind of ready to finish things. I do.
Wow.
I think the Red Sox are going to win game three, and I think they're just sometimes there's just teams that once they get to the championship, you just know, and you hear them talk, you see the way they carry themselves, and you just think they're going to get it done. And I think this year's Red Sox team is going to be looked back on for a while as a special team, and I think they're gonna win game three, and then I think they might just finish it instead of going back to Boston.
There you have it. Boston will go 3-0 after tonight. The game's tonight, actually. But definitely a lot of good games going on this weekend. Green Bay at the Rams, even though I think the Rams are going to win, it will be one of the biggest games this weekend. And in New England and Buffalo, maybe. We'll see. I am not really impressed with Buffalo, but we'll see what happens on Monday night. Jeff, how can people reach you?
Best way to follow along is on Twitter, at JT Fowler.
JT Fowler.
As always, great barbecue.
Awesome. Very much. Well, Jeff, thanks for coming on to the Sportscast. I'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, Santiago.